BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the program here on a Wednesday morning with the sun shining brightly. And it's relatively warm. It's been a pretty nice start to the week so far, right? I mean, it's only 45 right now, but it's gonna get up to almost 60 today. Before some rain moves in this evening. Well, late tonight, but we've had a nice little stretch of days here. And of course, we've got some more rain coming. It is April after all, right? April showers bring Mayflowers. And what do Mayflowers bring? Pilgrims. Mayflower is back now, too. If you want to go see it, it is its home back in Plymouth. So if you want to go and explore them. You know, I took my son, my wife and I took my son years ago to Plymouth Plantation. Because he, even as a young kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, he was super into history. And he had a great time running around Plymouth Plantation. And then we took him to the Mayflower. And I had not been on the Mayflower since I was a kid. I went to elementary school in Plymouth. So we used to go to Plymouth Plantation, the Mayflower, Brewster Gardens, like all of that stuff was an easy field trip for us, especially when I was in fifth grade, because I went to school in downtown Plymouth at the Nathaniel Morton School, so we could walk to everything. If we actually went out the side exit of the playground and the fields, we were right there on the waterfront. Which was a really, really nice classroom to have. To be able to sit in your classroom and look out at the Plymouth waterfront. But it was also very distracting, too. But we would walk down to, like, the Mayflower and take the tour and get the little lecture. And that's when I found out, by the way, that the English settlers did not want to eat lobster. They didn't have to. But that's how when I found out that lobster was poor man's food to early settlers. It's what they used to feed prisoners because it was the cockroach of the sea. Who would want to eat a lobster? And now look at us. We love it. But that was a nice town to grow up in, to have access to all of that history. And if you've never been, you can get passes. Most of the public libraries around here have passes to the Mayflower, have passes to Plymouth Plantation that you can check out and go for free. But if they don't, it's not that expensive to go. I'm sorry, I keep saying Plymouth Plantation. It's Plymouth Patuxet now. But the day in Plymouth is one well spent. There's more than just those things to see. You can go up to Burial Hill. You can go to some of the other places downtown. You can go to the old courthouse. They have a tour there that you can take. Well, it's not really a tour. You can just go in and walk around and look. I think they do also give guided tours, but I've never taken one of those. Then you can take a Plymouth ghost tour at night. I recommend the Plymouth Night Tours. I've taken that one. My friend Jeff Campbell runs those. He does a great job. There's also another place where you can learn a lot of history and experience a lot of great stuff, and it doesn't cost that much. The Heritage Gardens in Sandwich, formerly Heritage Plantation. I don't think enough people from around here know about that and go there. But it's a fantastic place. I used to have a membership. We would just go and walk around. I mean, I like going into the different little museums there, the military museum and riding the carousel and all that. But we would just go and walk around. It's a beautiful spot to walk around. The car barn, the shaker barn with all the antique cars in it. I haven't been in a while. I think I'm going to go this year. Anyway. Yeah, so if you don't already utilize the library passes, I would recommend doing so. If you don't already, get yourself a zoo membership and get some of the reciprocal memberships that it has at other locations. I recommend doing that. There's lots of ways to get to these places without having to pay full price every time. 508-996-0500. But yeah, we were talking about April showers and more rain coming. And if that's what's causing these Fairhaven power issues, if the story, the information that I was given in Stop and Shop yesterday by one of the employees there is true, that the reason why Fairhaven has been experiencing these brownouts or these little power flickers, and I shouldn't even really call them brownout, because a brownout is when the power gets low but doesn't go out completely. This is a quick blackout. This is a quick loss of power that lasts a couple seconds and then clicks back on. But everybody that's been experiencing it had no idea of what was going on. And it's been going on, at least here, for weeks. So as I said last hour, I was at the Lifestyles Plaza over there at a business there, and they said that they've been experiencing it. They said that they heard it had something to do with underground power lines that need to be replaced. And then as I'm walking into Stop and Shop, right afterwards, I hear two employees at the door talking about it and start talking with them about it. And the gentleman said that they were told that it's because the power lines are underground and they are old and need replacing. And the ground is so saturated with water from all the rain that we've gotten that it's causing these little short outs. So it shorts out and then the power station has to flip over to another's, I don't know the right terminology. But the idea that that's what's causing this does not bode well if there's more rain coming. Hopefully these couple of days with it not being too rainy will allow it to dry out with the warmer weather, but we don't even know that this is definitely the cause. Because people who have reached out to Eversource either haven't gotten answers or have been told we'll look into that, or, oh, this is the first we're hearing of it. So I reached out to Eversource Media Relations last night. I don't think that I will get an answer before the end of this program today, but if I do, I will let you know. And if I don't get an answer by the end of the program, keep your eyes peeled to WBSM.com, because I will write that up as a story for all the folks who are frustrated with this. I mean, I saw a comment somebody posted in a Facebook group about, they are charging us more for the electricity than they have before, but we never had these problems before. Am I going to get any kind of discount for this? And I said that to the business that I was in yesterday, because their credit card machine went down and they had to reboot it, and it takes a while. And, then I kind of explained to them, I think your alternate power supply is probably burnt out then, because that should keep you online. Either that or you've got to plug your router into it too. But the gentleman was right. They're not going to give him any kind of discount for this, for the inconvenience. They're not going to give these businesses a break for the money lost from people that walked out and said, well, I can't use my credit card. Forget it. Can't use my debit card. I don't have any cash. So I totally understand what he's saying. Every time there's any kind of interruption in service in any of my services, I call and I ask if I'm going to get any kind of refund for that. because I'm paying for the service. If I have to go 2 days without electricity because something happened, well, I want to know, am I still paying for those 2 days? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
My sister lives in North Fairhaven, and she's been getting them. She lives in the old Oxford School. There's apartments.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, yesterday she had one. It was, I don't know what time it was. She was babysitting, and she had her grandson there, and he wanted to watch TV. Cable went out. Everything went out and all that. But they have a generator in there. So I don't know if the lights went out, but I know all that other, she usually calls Comcast. Of course, they said that they don't know anything about it and this and that, because she doesn't know what's going on either. But that, you know.
So she called Comcast. So they're already telling people, oh, we haven't heard any complaints about this, but you're saying she called. So they're already giving people false information.
Yeah, she called Comcast, and they said, if we send somebody over and it's not our fault, and it's yours, we have to charge you $100. So she can't afford that. I mean, the place is really nice there. But, I mean, she said, no. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I'm not paying that. And so, I don't know. My brother told her over the phone to hold the power button in on the TV and something. I don't know. And it came back on a little while later. But she had no phone. She had the free phone, you know, the Obama phone, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
But she also has a regular phone in the house, you know, a cordless phone. And that was not working.
Right. If you have a cordless phone, it won't work because you need the power for it.
It won't work. Right. So I got a feeling it probably is the underground. I don't know, because that's an old building.
It is, but if this is happening across the... Well,
yeah,
but, and
I know.
It is an old building, but it's also just been upgraded for all of this, too.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's right. But I don't know if you did the underground power lines.
Well, no, unfortunately, the lines that Eversource owns, you know, the developers can't do anything about that. They can only make sure that they're, you know, all up to standard inside the building. And I went through that building, by the way, when they were doing the auctions, when they were auctioning stuff off. And what a beautiful place. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. She got a nice place. Really nice. And the people are really nice there, too. There's only, 52 apartments, I think, isn't it?
I was telling the story before, so I don't know if you heard it, but when they were doing the auctions at Oxford and the Rogers School, what do you think was the mm-hmm. thing everybody was grabbing out of those schools, everybody wanted to take home the most?
Oh, well, I heard that story too, and I forgot what it was. The bell?
It was the coat hooks. Everybody wanted the coat hook that was their coat hook that they hung their jacket on. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Wow, that is cool, yeah. Well, Dartmouth, we had the lockers. We didn't have the, they had coat hooks in the cafeteria. But I don't know why, but that was at the middle school and the pool school up in Slocum Road. I don't know if you know who that is.
Well, I was talking about the school I went to in downtown Plymouth. That school was kind of like the same style as the Fairhaven schools were, the Rogers and the Oxford, you know, that kind of Federalist style. And we had like a cubby room outside of our classroom with all the hooks mm-hmm. on it and a shelf. And like you'd have to go in there and it was kind of dark in that room, but there was an entry on both sides that went into mm-hmm. a door into the classroom either way. But man, it was always like looking around like, is that mine? I can't really see. And there were no lights inside of it. I was like, you walk out with somebody else's jacket on by accident.
Yeah, we used to call them cubby holes. We had them in Danvers when I lived in Danvers. Oh, yeah, where is that building in Danvers you were talking about the other day? I was probably 12 or 13 when I left there.
Oh, it's, I can't really give you the exact, it's across the street from
Salem?
I think it's further away from Salem now, but it's across the street from an elementary school. I know that much.
Oh.
But
it's
not where I thought it was. I thought it was closer to the Parson Barnard house, but it's not. It's like 20 minutes away from the Parson Barnard house.
Because they had a small elementary school, Williams School, and then there was Riverside School. And that's what I went to.
Well, I'll have to look and see which one it was, but it's... It's definitely a story that's getting picked up by a lot of outlets now, and I actually was communicating with somebody who works for the town, and you know, they said, you know, thank you for putting a spotlight on this, and they're going to keep us up to date with everything to see what happens with it.
I hope they don't tear it down. That'd be a shame.
I guess from my understanding is it probably won't necessarily be torn down. It's more being demolished by neglect. So it's more the fact that it's falling apart now, and eventually it'll get to the point where they have to tear it down for safety reasons. But for now, at least it's not going to get torn down immediately, but things have to get done. The town is very concerned about the hole in the roof, and if that's not going to get patched up, there could be issues.
I know, at Danvers State Hospital, that's all condos now.
Yeah, what's left of it. Yeah, what didn't burn down.
Yeah. Oh, geez, I know.
All right.
Oh, well.
Well, thank you for the call.
You have a good day.
You too.
See you later. Bye-bye.
508-996-0500. Let me take a break, and we'll be back in a few moments. From the soundtrack of Beverly Hills Cop 2. And Beverly Hills Cop 4 is actually in production right now and will be released on Netflix. Pretty excited about that. You know, a lot of people don't like Beverly Hills Cop 3. I didn't not like it. It was definitely more of a kind of family-friendly Beverly Hills Cop. But from what I've been hearing, this new one will be more of a return to the old style. So, I don't know. Listen, those movies of the 80s with Eddie Murphy playing Axel Foley, Chevy Chase playing Fletch, you know, these guys that, these ne'er-do-wells that found a way to, you know, solve the big crime. You know, those are fun movies. Great to watch now and then and recite lines from. So I'm happy to have Beverly Hills Cop 4 coming. Anyway, want to let you know, as this beautiful day is starting out, you might want to be starting out with a beautiful breakfast. And you can do that at Just Another Phoenix Restaurant on Fawns Corner Road in North Dartmouth, because at Just Another Phoenix, they have all of your breakfast favorites and unique specials as well. You know what they ran this past weekend? My favorite, Boston Cream Stuffed French Toast. I bet you if you go in there today, they still have it. And if not, it's always worth asking. You never know if the chef can make it for you. But it is absolutely the best breakfast around. I love the Boston Cream Stuffed French Toast, but everything at Just Another Phoenix is so good, including their cheese rolls. If you just want something quick and easy, get one of their cheese rolls. You can have it stuffed with whatever you want, sausage, bacon, ham, whatever you want. They'll put it in there. And also some of the best home fries that you'll have on the South Coast. Plus all of their great omelets, their pancakes. They've got so many different things there on the menu, and you can try them all. And if you don't have time to sit down in the restaurant, you can take it with you. Take it with you to work, take it with you to school, take it with you back home, wherever you need to be. You can get it all through their drive-through window. So try Just Another Phoenix, located on Fawns Corner Road in North Dartmouth, and make sure you follow them on Facebook so you can keep up to date with all of their specials and never miss out on something delicious. All right, now it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines from Phil Devitt.
Republicans push to oust the head of Homeland Security. A Boeing whistleblower prepares to testify. And detecting COVID in the air, researchers are developing a test.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The House has sent the Senate articles of impeachment for the head of Homeland Security, the first cabinet member to be impeached in over 100 years.
All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment while the House of Representatives is exhibiting to the Senate of the United States articles of impeachment against Alejandro Nicolas Mayorkas.
Republicans say it's due to his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border and the immigration crisis. All 100 senators are expected to be sworn in today for a trial that is not expected to last long, with Democrats vowing to vote to either table or dismiss the matter. Seven jurors have been selected for Donald Trump's New York City trial. The jury selection process will resume on Thursday until a panel of 12 New Yorkers and six alternates have been chosen. Trump's lawyers have had limited success asking for juror disqualification because of anti-Trump social media posts. A veteran Boeing engineer and whistleblower is scheduled to testify before a congressional committee today. Sam Salapour told NBC News he became alarmed about the production of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and raised concerns to his superiors.
I think it's as serious as I have ever seen in my lifetime.
The allegations follow an incident in January when a door plug fell off a Boeing plane mid-flight. Boeing has insisted that the claims are inaccurate and the 787 is safe. New developments this week in connection with Mark Zuckerberg's request to dismiss lawsuits about kids and online addiction.
A U.S. district judge ruled in favor of excusing the Meta CEO from being held liable for his platforms allegedly fueling social media addiction. However, the case against the company, which owns Facebook, still stands. Lawsuits filed against Meta claim the features Facebook and Instagram use tactics that are designed to addict kids. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Today marks the 63rd anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion, the failed CIA-sponsored military operation to overthrow Fidel Castro in Cuba. Long considered an expert on all things Cuba, Dr. Andy Gomez says it's a sad day in history for the courageous volunteers who sacrificed everything for freedom.
Some of them were young teenagers that never saw a free Cuba, which is what they were fighting for.
The anniversary comes as Cuba and the U.S. are in high-level migration talks in Washington, D.C. Cuba is asking the U.S. to ease sanctions and end special treatment of Cubans illegally entering its territory. And researchers at Virginia Tech are working on a portable test that could be used to determine whether COVID-19 is present in the air. The ongoing research project is designed to simplify current air testing methods that are often bulky and noisy and take days to process. The project leader envisions a process that could determine if the virus is present within 15 minutes.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox lost to the Cleveland Guardians 10-7. Next game tonight at Fenway at 7:10, also with the Guardians. And the Bruins will play the Toronto Maple Leafs in round one off the playoffs after losing to the Ottawa Senators last night 3-1.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A gorgeous stretch of weather so far this week. The sunshine continues today, though will be a bit cooler, a high of about 60 degrees. Clouds roll in later today. We'll settle into a low of 45 degrees tonight. A mostly cloudy Thursday on tap, and we'll see more sun on Friday. This WBSM News Update brought to you by Ocean Wine and Spirits Liquors. For the largest selection of Nips near Fairhaven, now open at 157 Pope's Island in New Bedford. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
That, of course, is Tavares, the legendary 1970s R&B group that called New Bedford home. And sad to report that Arthur Pooch Tavares has passed away. We actually had received word yesterday Someone had notified me about it, but I didn't want to say anything until I had been able to confirm it, or, you know, for the family to put something out first. And very early this morning, Tiny Tavares posted something on his Facebook page, you know, mentioning rest in paradise for Pooch. So we'll have that story up for you soon at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and we'll provide you as many details as we can. But just wanted to make everybody aware. He was 81 years old, and as folks know, he had retired from the group after suffering a massive stroke in 2014. And it was actually Ralph that came back to the group and replaced him after Ralph had left the group in the 80s for family reasons. And Ralph came back and replaced him, and then Ralph passed away a couple of years ago, just 2 days shy of his 80th birthday. So it is time marches on. It is the one thing that we can always count on is it will eventually pass us all by. But the music of Tavares will live on forever. And hopefully you'll be playing some of that today in memory of Pooch. 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and get involved in the discussion. We were talking earlier about some of these Fairhaven power issues, and more comments are popping up from people that are saying that they have had those issues. Besides, you know, Colleen called in and said her sister had the issue in North Fairhaven yesterday. And that's where, you know, that's not where some of the other areas are that we heard about. We heard about it being mostly an East Fairhaven issue, but now other people are saying, yep, happened to me too. So I think at this point, I'm hoping, again, it's early. So it's not like we're going to get a response from Eversource probably till mid-morning or the afternoon. But hopefully we hear something from them with at least some kind of explanation. Now, that explanation might be that it is those underground power cables, and that there's nothing that can be done about it unless they replace them. But if that's the case, then if we get a rainy stretch, are we going to go through this again? Now, we've had quite the rainy stretch lately. I don't have the numbers in front of me for how much rain has fallen in the past couple of weeks. But certainly we didn't have enough sun and enough warm weather and enough dry weather for that saturated ground to start to dry up. And there wasn't enough time between rainstorms for it to absorb. So what are you stuck with? Heavily saturated soil that is probably wreaking havoc with these underground lines. Speaking of things that are inside the earth, I'm going to have a really interesting interview for you tomorrow. The part that I love about being involved in radio and having a radio show is you get all these pitches thrown at you to have guests on and to be able to talk to really interesting people. And every now and then I'm going to grab those if I think that it's somebody that would be interesting for you. And so we are going to be talking with Dr. Sabina Stanley about her new book, What's Hidden Inside Planets? And we're going to find out about what's actually inside the Earth and what's inside other planets, both in and out of our solar system. The book is fascinating. The book has some really interesting correlations between planetary physics, and we'll learn all about what that's all about. We'll let Sabina explain that. But planetary physics and the world of art, as well as can some of these other planets sustain life, whether it be life that exists there already, or could we go and visit these planets? You know, aside from the fact that they're millions of light years away, and we can't exactly travel that far yet. As Neil deGrasse Tyson explained to me so concisely, the human body as we know it could not sustain a trip to any potential habitable planet. We would rot away and we would fall apart before we would get there. We don't have any type of technology that could sustain us. There's none of these, you know, cryogenic chambers like you see in sci-fi movies. Oh, send the Thundercats to a new planet. We'll put Lion-O in a cryo. We'll put everybody in a cryo chamber except Lion-O. He'll age. The rest of them will be the same. That might be a little bit too obscure of a reference. Okay, Superman. But the bottom line is, some of these planets do show signs of life, and Dr. Sabina Stanley can tell us why. So that'll be really fun talking with her. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Safiolos.
Hey, Gilly. How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Doing all right.
I was just calling in to talk about the city council meeting last night.
Sure.
Appointments and briefing. You know, it's funny. There's so much dissension on that city council right now that I find it kind of funny. And I'll explain to you why. They had appointments and briefings. And they started the meeting, and Ian Ebrew was the chair. And they had a lot of motions. As a matter of fact, the agenda had two pages, back and forth. And they're supposed to be representing us, and I've always complained that they don't know the rules of Roberts. Can you believe that the city council, and people have been on it for a long time, he tried to start the meeting with five city councilors in the chambers. He started it, as a matter of fact. I had to stand up and count. I counted the people just to make sure. And I said, excuse me, there's only five city councilors in this room. You can't start a meeting. You can't. No, there's six. He counted it again. They went to recess. Okay? And they found out there was only five city councilors starting a meeting. There's so much dissension that Leo Chiquette had to cancel his meeting tonight. Because he got letters from, I could be corrected by one or two, six or seven counselors that couldn't make it. So he had to cancel his meeting. And he's going to be on your program, or Chris's program this morning. You know, that's the part that I don't understand. They think it's a joke in there. They don't know the rules of Roberts.
Well, I don't know they think, you know, I don't know they think that it's a joke, but I mean, if I'm not saying that they're not having the issues that you're saying, but I'm just saying I don't think that they're doing this as a mockery.
Okay, no. But let me explain to you why I think it's. When you take a vote on somebody to confirm them, you know, like they did it with Dave Jerotowsky as an attorney when they were going to vote for him. The majority, I want to say about four of them, and even the council president, before they voted, they're like hesitating. Unless you do this. Yeah, you know, it's a yes or no vote. You know, but to have dissension and where city councilors are bickering and, you know, there's somebody, you know who I'm talking about in the first place, Linda Morad, okay? Because Leo Chiquette's trying to do something in the North End. He called for a meeting for the constituents at Pulaski School.
Mm-hmm. Next week, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she taxed him and really gave him a piece of her mind. And then she did it again. He tried to put the knowledge bench out there and says, you got to get respect to give. No, you got to get respect to give respect. Okay, that's, you know, this is ridiculous. They're bickering. She's trying. She's intimidating the other city councilors. They're not going to show up. And you don't want me to tell you the people, they're not going to show up for Leo's Day this morning. It's ridiculous to be, they think it's a joke. You know, that's all. And just look at the tape and you see when they're voting. Can you imagine starting a meeting? They know they got to have six to start it. And then they only ended up with seven. Okay, that's ridiculous. When you got the president of the city council coming in late to another meeting, what does that tell you? But to have bickering, and after when she says, I'm going to, you know, do my best, and she's still trying to control that meeting. That's Leo. He's going to be in the program. I know he's not going to be. He's not going to throw anybody under the bus. But I'll throw him under the bus because I was there.
Well, we'll see what he has to say when he comes in. So I got to hold you there, though, Gilly, because I got to take a break.
All right.
Thank you for the call. And I do have to take that break. We'll take your calls, 508-996-0500, but we'll be right back. Welcome back. And what a great line, trying to catch the deluge in a paper cup. Great imagery there. So we do have to take another break here in just a moment before we run out of time this hour. But before we do that, I want to let you know that the 2024 Northeast Home Show is coming to Tiverton, Rhode Island. The event is happening Saturday, April 27th and Sunday, April 28th at the Longplex Sports Center. The Northeast Home Show is the complete showcase for all your needs in the home and the garden. Visitors have the opportunity to see and experience the latest home and garden trends and innovations, listen to accomplished designers, watch creative demonstrations, source and buy new products, and so much more. You can purchase tickets right now at northeasthomeshow.com, or you can enter to win a 4-pack of tickets on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. The Northeast Home Show, April 27th and 28th at the Longplex Sports Center in Tiverton. And more information, of course, at northeasthomeshow.com. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, that is going to do it for this hour. We are going to be going.